Uncertainty in today's global marketplace and the velocity of change continue to produce an array of potential risks that can disrupt an organization's business model and strategic plan on very short notice. The results of the latest Top Risk Survey from NC State University's ERM Initiative and Protiviti indicate the business landscape, to no surprise, looks much riskier for 2023 compared with this time last year. In fact, this year's results reveal that executives and boards perceive the current business environment as the riskiest in the 11 years we have conducted this study. This is Kevin Donahue, Senior Director with Protiviti, welcoming you to a new edition of Powerful Insights. NC State University's ERM Initiative and Protiviti recently published our Executive Perspectives on Top Risks for 2023 and 2032 report. This report, along with our executive summary, infographic, and more, are available at erm.ncsu.edu and protiviti.com/top risks. For this podcast, I had the pleasure of interviewing Dr. Mark Beasley from NC State University's ERM Initiative and Jim Deloach of Protiviti. Mark is the professor of enterprise risk management and director of the ERM Initiative in the Poole College of Management at NC State University. The ERM Initiative provides thought leadership about ERM practices and their integration with strategy and corporate governance. As founding director, Mark leads the ERM Initiative's efforts to help pioneer the developments of this emergent discipline. Jim is a managing director with Protiviti and a member of the firm's solutions leadership team. His market focus is on helping organizations succeed in responding to government mandates, shareholder demands, and a changing business environment in a cost-effective and sustainable manner that reduces risk to an acceptable level. He assists companies with strategy setting, business planning, and performance management. Mark, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Jim, thank you. Great to speak with you again.
Thank you, Kevin. Glad to be here.
So, Mark, to get us started, I wanted to ask you to walk through what we did with this year's survey in terms of the methodology, what our respondent breakdown was, and the like, just to give our audience kind of an overview of who we polled and why.
Great. Yeah, I'm excited about, again, this year's survey. This is our 11th year to be surveying executives and board members from around the world. And very pleased that we received responses from over 1,300 board members, C-suite executives from all parts of the world. We've applied a very consistent methodology over the entire 11-year period, which I think gives us that neat ability to compare and look at not only last year and 2 years ago, but we also have a little bit of perspective of how things have shifted over the 11-year horizon. But as our methodology has been and continues to be, we're asking executives to give us their perspectives on risks that they see on the horizon for their organizations for not only next year, 2023, but then a decade later, 2032. And this is the third year that we've been able to ask not only about next year, but then a decade out. And we're very pleased to be able to do that again. Each respondent was asked to give us their perspectives on 38 different risks that are very high level, broad issues that are on the minds of executives. And we asked them to give us their perspectives of the significance of that particular risk of each of those 38 using a 10-point scale, where one is this risk is not an issue at all, and 10 is extensively a concern. It has an extensive impact for our organization for next year or a 10-year out window. Among the 38 risks we surveyed, 36 of them were in last year's survey. We did add two this year, but for the most part, we're able to then benchmark this year's perspectives about 2023 to what they thought about 2022. And that allows us to look at then these risks across multiple years and give you a sense of benchmarking from that perspective. We have executives from all C-suite positions, almost 140 CEOs. We've got CFOs, chief risk officers, chief human resource officers, chief technology officers. And importantly, we also have about 189 of the respondents are board of director members. So we have the board perspective and then different C-suite angles that we're able to look at this. And we also are at a global level. So we've got insights from 8 different regions from around the world, which gives us that global perspective. And we're able to understand and analyze differences across the different regions of the world. And similarly, we were looking at 6 different industry groups. And that allows us then to look at differences across industry as to what our risks are top of mind for executives. So we're, again, very pleased that over 1,300 respondents are participating in this at a global level, multiple industry, multiple position, and multiple size of entity. So we're able to slice and dice, and that's how the report is analyzing data in a lot of different subgroups in addition to the full report as a whole. So I think that sort of hits the highlights of the key points of our methodology.
Oh, it definitely does. Thanks, Mark. And you're right. We're all excited about the wealth of data and insights we have. And you know, I was thinking we could take our conversation today in a lot of directions, but I wanted to focus on the key themes, the major themes we found in the results. And I want to start, Jim, with the first one, which is uncertainty. That is something woven through the results by executive role, by industry, by geography, in a lot of different areas, and certainly embedded in a lot of the top risk issues. And one of the things we see is increased risk is there, but there's also increased opportunity. So can you speak to that a bit?
Sure, Kevin. Uncertainty is clearly evident in our survey results. When asked about perceptions of the overall severity and magnitude of risk, executives and board members rated both at the highest level that we have observed in all 11 years this study has been conducted by North Carolina State ERM Initiative and Protiviti. Of the 36 risks that we asked about this year that were also surveyed last year, 33 of them increased in risk severity year over year. And so we found that extremely interesting. It is clearly a changing risk landscape. There's churn in all types of risk for 2023 relative to the prior year. So, for example, what we saw were 5 risks that were in the top 10 list last year fell out and replaced by 5 risks. So the 5 risks that were in the top 10 last year that fell out, they included inability to manage data analytics and big data, cyber threats, government policies impacting business performance, shifts in perspectives about diversity, equity, and inclusion, and market conditions imposed by the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, the risk related to the pandemic did decline year over year, but risk related to data analytics and big data and cybersecurity and shifts in perspectives about diversity, equity, and inclusion did increase year over year, but they nonetheless fell out of the top 10. The risk ranked below the top 10 last year that became a part of the top 10 this year included, to no one's surprise, supply chain uncertainties, which was 5th on the top 10 list, impacts of workplace changes on culture and the business model, which was 6th, identifying and escalating market opportunities and risk issues, which was 8th on the list, impact of the hybrid work environment on talent retention and on business operations, that was 9th, and resilience in responding to an unexpected crisis with 10th. So these risks suggest when you look at it, you look at the churn taking place, you look at the uncertainty that exists, it certainly suggests enormous opportunities because, you know, executive boards really, and executives and board members are really telling us that the risk landscape is not only changing, but that new risk and opportunities are can and are emerging rapidly. Mark, you have any thoughts to add?
Yeah, I just want to support what you've said in the sense that there's just this overall heightened perception of the risk environment for 2023, as you noted, basically almost all except for three increasing over the prior year. What I wanted to highlight too is that perception is coming through. It's not dependent on a particular executive position. I think there's a general sense across each of the positions, CEO, CFO, board member, of a heightened level of risk due to all this uncertainty from what they would have assessed last year. For example, more board members are indicating more of the risk or what we refer to as significant impact risk that receive a score of 6.0 or higher on the 10-point scale. That's high. That number of significant impact risk is higher for board members than last year. And that's true across most of the executive positions as they look at it. But as you're pointing out, though, it's I think they're seeing it not only as a risk, as a concern from a threat dimension, but as we'll get into in a little bit more, a number of the risks have a strong opportunity angle to it, particularly when it comes to leveraging technology and people that I think they're seeing it as, while there is a lot of uncertainty, that could be turned into advantage if we approach it in the right way.
Absolutely.
Yes, and we're definitely going to talk about people, and we'll definitely talk about technology. I first wanted to hit on this theme of the economy and economic undercurrents. Mark, economic conditions certainly rank highly as a risk issue for our global respondent group, individual groups also. But again, I think we're seeing economic conditions kind of woven into some of the other risk issues as well, and likely affecting how people are perceiving those areas. Can you discuss that a bit?
Sure. Yeah. When you look at one of our risks, which has been over the 11 years in the top 10 for the most part, but this year zoomed to the number two position, is just the overarching concern about economic conditions, and particularly the concern being that the economy could really restrict growth opportunities for organizations that they represent. And so just overarching concern, that moving up now to number two. And I think with concerns related to inflation and then the central bank policies related to interest rates are just creating a heightened sense of concern about just overall economic conditions. But there are other macroeconomic risks that are in the top 10. So in addition to just the concerns about the economy and restricting growth, a macroeconomic concern, particularly tied to the labor markets, is of heightened concern. Just the cost of labor going up. And so concerns over how just the market for labor and the war for talent continues to be increasing labor costs, which is going to have an impact on profitability, achieving profitability targets. And I think just concern about how to deal with that. And then also tied to the macroeconomic concern is tying to the labor market also of being able to attract the skill they need to take advantage of digital technologies that could be emerging. So I think just what we're seeing in the economy and just concerns related to macroeconomic concerns are definitely hitting the top 10. What is really interesting to me is we also analyzed, when we look at Jim and I both have talked about, we surveyed 38 different risks this year, 36 were in last year. So among those 36, we're able to say which risks seem to increase the most compared to where they were last year. And that is very interesting in that the macroeconomic risk dominate the top five, increasing the most. I think it's four out of the top five biggest increases over 2022 to 2023 are macroeconomic, and that being concerns related to increasing interest rates and how that's going to affect access to capital, geopolitical risks, just dealing with that more macro level concern. I think, you know, the issues happening in Eastern Europe with the situation in the Ukraine, and then relatedly, but somewhat broader than that too, is just expanding and evolving global trade policies, and then political uncertainty around sort of national leaders who have had some tenure, just shifts in just the political environment around the world, all are dominating those risks that increase the most as we look into 2023. And I guess maybe we shouldn't be surprised by that, maybe just given the global focus of what's happening in Eastern Europe and the related risk tied to that. And I think that it is dominating across most of the industry sectors as well. So as far as the economic concerns, particularly restricting growth, I think it's trickling across almost all of the industry sectors as a part of the top five in each industry group. So it is clearly top of mind among executives that are looking at 2023 particularly.
Yeah, I like, Mark, I like the way you put the backdrop is overall macroeconomic risk and framing the uncertainty around the economy. And I do think the global economy is a great contributor to the overall uncertainty that executives and board members are expressing. So when you look, for example, at the from a macroeconomic standpoint, China's zero tolerance for COVID, how that has exacerbated the pressures on supply chain and increased cost as a result of that. You add to that the increase in labor costs that you were talking about. And then you got the central bank policies all over the world all weighing in. And that, of course, increasing interest rates. I think what's so unique here is how that has increased the persistence of economic concern. So it's not just a near-term issue as we look forward to 2023 and the specter of a global recession on the horizon, but looking out, I mean, where are the growth opportunities going to be as we go forward? And so I think the uncertainties that are being expressed about the economy are longer term, as indicated in our survey results, and that adds a dimension to this uncertainty theme that we're seeing.
Yeah, Jim, and I was just remembering, too, that when we look at the different geographic regions of the world, as we looked at the different, we sub-analyzed those across eight different geographies, nine of the 12, we have 12 macroeconomic risks in the 38 risk, and nine of those 12 are appearing in the top five list when you look across the different geographies. But interestingly, Latin America, all top five risk in Latin America are macroeconomic kind of issues. So It's around the world and particularly heightened, I think, when we look in Latin America.
Our full report, along with an executive summary, an infographic, and more, the report is called Executive Perspectives on Top Risks for 2023 and 2032, are available at erm.ncsu.edu and Protiviti.com/top risks. So, Jim, I want to segue into our next major theme. People, talent, skills, and culture. Quite simply, if you look at the global results, they dominate the top 10. So your thoughts on why that is?
Without a doubt, people and culture are once again at the top of the agenda. That was the case last year, the case this year. I think that what we find here is that even amid an uncertain economy and with inflationary conditions and fears of a possible recession over the next 12 months, people, talent, and cultural issues are standing out as critical concerns to board members and C-suite executives. And there's several sub-themes that have emerged in this respect. First of all, finding and keeping top talent is the top risk. not only for looking out 12 months, but also looking out long term. And I think that that is an important consideration here, not only just acquiring and retaining talent, but also the focus on succession challenges. How do you preserve and maintain your core of top talent? This is globally, going back to Mark's comment earlier about significant impact risk, how we measured that. This is the one risk that is rated globally at the significant impact level. Then there are other sub themes as well. The future of work continues to be a defining business challenge. We made that assertion 2 or 3 years ago. We looked into the 2020s and we saw the 2020s as a disruptive decade. But we also articulated that the future of work was a defining business challenge. And this is the state of labor markets and the expected adoption of emerging technologies, artificial intelligence, automation in all of its forms, and other technologies are such that significant efforts will be necessary to upskill and reskill existing employees over the next decade to realize the full value proposition associated with these technologies. And this is the seventh and the second rated risk for 2023 and 2032. So this is another people and culture type risk that has legs to it looking out 10 years. As Mark indicated earlier, rising labor costs are an elevated concern. It's on everybody's mind, and it's not a whole lot that I need to add to that. And again, it was, interestingly, not only a near-term risk, but it is also the 10th rated risk for 2032. So another people and culture risk with legs to it looking out 10 years. Culture remains a priority, and it has increased in significance relative to other risks. You have two aspects of this. First of all, resistance to change. We find that as an anomaly because I think that's the proper word, Mark, in that everybody sees a very rapidly changing risk landscape, and yet, we're resistant to change here in our organization. And those are two different perspectives that simply don't mix well. They're oil and water, and you just don't mix well. And so that's one aspect of culture. The other one is the ability to escalate and communicate emerging risk issues and market opportunities upward through the organization. And that's extremely important because without that, leaders risk losing touch with what's happening in the marketplace. Because the real action and what's being really seen in the marketplace is on the front line. Finally, another sub-point is workplace evolution is more of a near-term issue. This is concerns over whether the organization can manage the ongoing demands on or expectations of a significant portion of the workforce to either work remotely or be a part of a transformed, collaborative, hybrid work environment. And so this is the 9th rated risk for 2023, but it's not perceived as that important relative to other risks looking out 10 years. Longer term, this is less of a concern, but near term, leaders are struggling with it. The playbook hasn't been written yet, and everyone's learning as they go. So I think, these are important risk issues, Mark, because talented people and culture are so interrelated. If the latter attracts the former and effectively led, the best and brightest engender innovative cultures that can compete and win in the digital age.
Yeah, as you've highlighted, it's just very striking, this dominance of concerns related to talent and culture just interwoven throughout the top 10 and across the different breakdowns of how we analyzed it. And I think it's interesting, you know, part of that is the talent side is dealing with the hybrid and remote work environment that we're still trying to figure out. What are we doing there? And I think that sort of ties into resistance to change. We've been forced to change. We're trying to go back in some places to the old way. And I think there's resistance to that. And that can be where the opportunity, I think people are realizing, if we could get creative with our how we approach the talent and be more embracing of change, that can actually work in our advantage. And I think finding that sweet spot is the opportunity that organizations are trying to explore and figure that out. But if we don't figure out the culture piece, then all these risks are heightened. Because as you highlighted, the one particularly related to the willingness for people to escalate risk issues to those at the top, if we can't get that addressed, then there are risks lurking out there that our team might know about, but we're not hearing it at the top. And I think that is a huge issue that leaders, particularly boards, want to think about as they oversee the risk process to make sure that the talent is escalating and engaged in thinking about risk proactively. And so I think that's where some opportunity for focus could be.
And one thing I want to point out that we're walking through these results and what different groups see, and it's fascinating, but our study also includes some calls to action on how organizations can address these areas. In fact, we have specific calls to actions defined around ESG and people and talent and culture and innovation and transformation and digital strategy. We also offer a detailed diagnostic for board members and executives to walk through to understand if they're addressing these different risk issues effectively, and if not, how they need to address them. So Mark, again, this offers a great transition to our next theme, technology, innovation, and transformation. Certainly, as both of you just discussed, you know, people and skills really are driving that, but more broadly, organizations are, you know, really looking at how do they employ more next generation emerging technologies, and how do they compete against born digital players? You know, what are your views on this?
Yes, you know, obviously technology is core to virtually every organization, and the rapid pace of change in the technology and innovation space is creating a lot of the uncertainty. When you think about it, just as rapid deployments of new ways of doing business something that I think our survey respondents are very focused on. And as Jim has highlighted, there's that intersection with talent. And one of the top 10 for next year is just, will our organization be able to adopt the digital technologies that we need to really be competitive? And do we have the capability to acquire the skills that allow us to take advantage of those technology innovations as they come on board? Can we attract the talent we need, or can we upskill our existing talent to get them better prepared to deal with the technology? When you look out a decade from now, the technology emphasis is very strong in the sense of a number of our top 10 risks for 2032 are tied to concerns related to technology and innovation. And so a number of the top risk issues deal with, again, the ability to adopt the digital technologies and having the skill set to do that. That moves into the number two position a decade from now, from being in the number seven position for 2023. So it is a heightened concern as we look longer term in that. Following number three, 10 years out, is just the concern about the rapid speed of disruptive innovations occurring that could outpace the organization's ability to really compete without there being a significant change in their business model. So just, I think, an overarching concern a decade from now that innovations are going to appear in a way that's totally disrupting how we currently think about the way we do business. And we may be too slow to respond, which ties into what Jim's already talked about, the culture, that resistance to change. As Jim talked about, resistance to change is appearing in the 2023 list as a top 10. It is also in the same position for a decade from now. So when you connect, you know, resistance to change and concerns about innovation and disruptive innovation and not being able to keep pace and embrace digital technologies, all these are intertwined and go together. Other concerns, when you think about, we always tend to think that cyber concerns, cyber threats will always be on the short list, and it is. Interestingly, cyber concerns and cyber sort of threats are not in the top 10, and similarly, concerns about privacy and data security, they're not in the top 10, but they're close to the top 10. I think like number 12 and number 15. But even though they're not in the top 10, it's interesting to see that concerns related to basically cyber-related threats and then ensuring privacy and compliance with growing expectations related to privacy security, those increased over last year for 2023. So the fact that they're not in the top 10 doesn't mean they're not important and they're not top of mind, because they're actually higher for each of those risks than they were last year. So people are still very concerned about it, even though you might not see in the top 10 for next year. But those do move into higher level positions, particularly dealing with privacy and compliance with growing protection expectations for a decade from now. So as we look out further, the technology emphasis is especially strong. In addition to just the concerns about, can we have the skills to do the data analytics and the big data analysis to really have that market intelligence we need, as well as, will our technology systems, are we too dependent on a lot of legacy systems that are going to make us less nimble? Those are longer term concerns. But as we started this, I would look at those as, while they're initially a concern, embracing them, that's where the opportunity really kicks in. I think there, when you look at the decade out risk, I see the technology themes really reflecting opportunities out there if we can be proactive in how we navigate that starting today.
Yeah, I think one thing we've had to constantly remind ourselves of, Mark, is just looking at the relative ranking of risk, it does not present the full picture, because the risks have all... these risks like cyber and privacy have increased year over year. And so it's the relative ranking that pushes cyber and privacy down when you start looking at these issues, the more pressing issues around the economy and labor cost and making margins and making the numbers. I think what could really contribute to the whole overall concern about technology is for a lot of incumbents, the need to modernize their legacy infrastructure because of the accumulated technical debt over time, and how they need to focus on improving agility to deal with the speed of change and maintain constantly improving customer experiences. Technology plays a big role in that, and all of those factors add to the complexity of managing technology in this digital age we are all experiencing.
Jim, I wanted to have you talk a bit about our next theme, digital perspectives. I was thinking we could have easily covered this in this prior theme on technology, innovation, and transformation. But I think there are some additional issues to incorporate or perspectives to address within digital, starting with some things I know we've talked about before, which is almost like creating a digital mindset, weaving it into digital, into the fabric of your organization. Can you expand on that a bit and talk about why digital is so prevalent a theme in our study this year?
Sure, Kevin. Digital has been prevalent in our survey for a number of years, and it's certainly prevalent again this year. C-level executives and board members have shared concerns about the near and long-term issues that frame a tough environment for strategists and executives tasked to bring a digital mindset to sustaining strategic relevance and continuously improving customer-facing and back-office processes. I think that leaders need only to look back to the turn of the century and what has happened since through the reimagining of business models to gauge the potential for significant change over the next decade. Risk on the horizon for 2032 indicate an overarching intersection of disruptive innovation, advancing technologies, and talent challenges. Executives indicate concerns about emerging innovations and their organization's ability to attract, afford, and retain the skills needed to embrace change, particularly changes to technology infrastructures to compete with born digital organizations and to leverage advanced data analytics to garner the insight needed to be competitive. In the digital age, knowledge is not only power, knowledge will differentiate the winners and the losers. Speed and scale are being augmented with greater bandwidth at lower cost, enabling new ways to compete as well as to connect with customers, and a transformation of how companies as well as whole industries operate. These risks sustain the ongoing narrative, Mark, that the 2020s is indeed a decade of disruption.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, when you just look at the churn and what are the risk concerns for 2023 compared to a decade later, and we just see a number of shifts and what's in the longer term horizon just illustrates, I think, that we need to have this mindset that is nimble and agile, and that's where the digital capabilities to try to track these very rapidly changing things and put ourselves in a more predictive capability, I think, is going to be important for real success as we think out for the long term. That capability, given that the world is changing, it's changing very rapidly. We've got to be able to leverage technology and data to be able to use those as tools to be a little more anticipatory as we look at what's on the horizon for short term and long term.
So for the last theme we'll cover, Mark, I wanted to ask you about ESG. Environmental, social, governance matters are on the minds of every board member and executive today. Regulatory requirements, you know, continue to come out. Reporting, organizations are concerned about, building sustainable supply chains. I could go on and on. What are you seeing in the landscape right now, as well as how some of that is exhibited in the results from our study this year?
Yes, it's interesting, as you highlighted, the focus currently in the environment and a lot of discussion in the environment, in the marketplace, about thinking about risks that have a more specific climate impact, with proposals here in the U.S. and in Europe and other places around the world. You might think that ESG related issues would be, the top 10. And so one observation is, for the short term, we're not seeing that overarching concern about particularly environmental issues and climate moving in the top 10. In fact, it's lower down the list than you might imagine, although it is higher for 2023 than it was last year. So I think there's a heightened concern about it. But other risks, particularly the ones we've already talked about related to talent, technology, and the economy, have sort of pushed some of the concerns related particularly to the environment not as high on the list. But I think it's also important for us to keep in mind that E, S, and G include things including the environment, but also social and then governance. And so when you look at ESG, I think the S is very much dominating the top of mind risk concerns for 2023, when you think about all the talent related issues and culture issues that we've already talked a lot about on this discussion or in this discussion. So I think, you know, when you look at the S part of ESG, those are very much in the top 10 for 2023, and they do continue in a large way into 2032. DEI is not, concerns related to diversity, equity, and inclusion is not included in the top 10, but it's still high relative to other risk issues. So it is still very much front and center on the minds of executives, even though you might not see that one in the top 10 right now. I do want to go back to the environment piece. And it is interesting, as I talked about earlier, it's not a risk issue that is into the very top of the list of all the risks we looked at, with the exception of the industries that are more fossil fuel centric. So when you look at the energy and utility industry, the concerns related to the environment are of a top concern for energy and utility entities. In fact, the number one risk for 2023 is just rising threats associated with the catastrophic natural disasters and weather phenomena are going to create some significant operational challenges for the energy and utility sector. That is the number one risk for 2023. And so that is very much, as you might expect for that industry, of top concern, and that stays the top concern for 2032. So clearly in certain industries that are going to be more impacted by environmental issues, that is the top risk in that particular industry sector. So I think it begs for just the reminder that context is critical. As we think about these risks, that we've got to think about risk in the context of our individual business models and the industries we serve and operate within. And that is why it's important to look at these risks in the context of how we do in the study, but not only on industry, different industry looks at it, but also different sizes of entities as well, along with the other dimensions that we have.
Yeah, I think, Mark, if I can add to that last comment, because I think you summarized this very well in terms of how ESG issues are manifested in our study. But when you look at environmental issues and the focus on climate change outside of fossil fuel-based industries, the way our risk statement was framed was whether or not companies see the effects of climate change resulting in a significant adjustment to their strategy and business model. And the bottom line is, relative to other risks, they did not see climate change having that kind of as much of an impact on their strategy and business model as other risk. Now, I think there may be those out there that are scratching their heads over that point, but it's an important observation due to other research that we have done at Protivity that suggests that North American companies are lagging behind their European and Asia Pacific counterparts in terms of their commitment to ESG issues, particularly with respect to environmental issues. And so I think that is whether or not that is an accurate statement as of this time, we'll find out through the test of time over the next several years for sure.
Interesting, Jim, as you were saying that, I was reminded that when you look at the risk concerns, particularly related to natural disasters and just weather-related disruptions that I highlighted was a concern among energy and utility, it's also a top five concern for respondents in the Asia-Pacific region as well as Australia and New Zealand. So it's interesting, that particular concern is of a concern in certain regions of the world, particularly for 2023. A top five concern, that is.
This has been a fantastic conversation. Thank you both. I have one more question that I'll pose to each of you. It's the same question. Mark, I'll ask you first. We've gone through a lot of findings, a lot of themes, certainly a lot of trends. For you, what's the one big takeaway you have from the results of this year's study?
Kevin, I look at the heightened overall concern about the severity and magnitude of risk across the board, and then looking at the fact that, as we said earlier, all but three risks that we surveyed last year are higher this year. It just emphasizes the importance of really thinking about risk in a more proactive way. And here at NC State in our ERM initiative, I'm obviously very focused on how entities approach how they think about risk and overseeing risk on the horizon. But I look at this and all the different ways you look at the data in the study just emphasize there's a value proposition to investing in how we think about risk. It's in our best interest. As we've talked about, there's a huge amount of uncertainty that is triggering all kinds of risk. And it's happening at a very rapid pace. And across the board, we think it's more severe for next year compared to this year, suggesting that there's value if we invest more in how we think about and oversee risk and thinking about the infrastructure. What always strikes me, and it really does this year, is the differences in viewpoints across different executive positions. As I look at what board members are concerned about compared to the CEO, compared to the CFO, and on down the C-suite line, there is so much variation in perspective about what are the critical risks. So if we're not talking about it as a leadership team and with our board, we're very likely approaching how we think about risk in a very disjointed way and very likely not focus on the right ones for our organization. So I just see this suggesting that it is worthwhile to ponder, are we doing enough and investing in the right infrastructures to really have a better handle on these rapidly changing risks that we're facing? And is it something that we want to rethink as far as devoting additional resources? One of the questions that we haven't highlighted is the fact that we also asked, to what extent do you think you'll be investing more resources to think about risk for into the future? And we definitely see, on average, a higher sort of indication that we're going to spend more in how we think about risk. Spend may be the right wrong word. We're going to invest, and that could be investing time and conversation, not just dollars, in how we think about risk compared to how we have in the past. And that, interestingly, is true across all sizes of organizations. So it's not just the big ones that are focused in on that. And pretty much that is the viewpoint across different executive positions that we survey. Each sort of executive position, except for a couple of positions, are saying we think we need to invest more. So my closing thought is, think about whether we're doing all that we need to do to really be addressing the realities of the world that we're seeing from a risk dimension.
I think I would add, Mark, that a long-term outlook, I think one of the big takeaways is how a long-term outlook can help companies face the future with greater confidence. And as I look at the churn taking place in the top risk for both looking out 12 months, looking out 10 years and so forth, it strikes me that understanding and managing toward the long view facilitates resiliency and agility in pivoting at the speed of change. And this is, I think this ties in, Mark, to your comments about, getting a common view or having a shared perspective about the risk landscape. But this is why the elevation we observe and the resistance to change in this year's survey to be especially troubling. because if you look at it, the complexity and volatility in the risk environment coupled with the velocity of change comprise a combustible mix when organizations fail to anticipate and adapt. So I would hope that one outcome from this year's survey is for companies to take a look at their culture, to take a look at their ability to embrace change, their ability to let go of the status quo and listen to what the market forces are telling them, to make the necessary adjustments, because I think this is more than just survival. It's also about the opportunity to thrive as well. But those organizations that cling to the status quo with the pace of change, as we're seeing, they risk death of a thousand cuts going forward.
My thanks to Mark and Jim for joining me for this informative conversation. And thank you for tuning in. Again, our report, Executive Perspectives on Top Risks for 2023 and 2032, is available at erm.ncsu.edu and Protiviti.com/top risks. And I hope you will subscribe to our Powerful Insights podcast series and review us wherever you get your podcast content.